I want to talk about the Dzigalim. I guess which you can translate as flags. So sort of a brief background. Bamidbar is a very long parsha pasuk-wise, but content-wise, it's very short. It's almost like, and surprising how many psukim can be devoted to saying so little. It's just, again, counting the Bnei Yisrael in various ways to determine how many people from the ages of 20 to 60, males specifically, where there were in each shevet. And what's really sort of, maybe even the most intriguing part of it, is that there's this census that happens one time, and then afterward, just a few psukim later, the Torah lists all the shvatim and their numbers again, or at least the names of their families again. Like, we really just went through this entire thing. And it seems the purpose of this, the doing it again, is because of the Dzigalim that I have in the, you have in that first pasuk right over there, where it says, Ish al diglo beotot leveta votam yachanu b'nei Yisrael, mineged saviv l'olam o'ay yachanu. That each person, based on their flag, with signs, according to Beit Avotam, their family grouped, Bnei Yisrael will camp from a distance around the Ohel Moed. They will camp around the Mishkan. And then the Torah proceeds to describe each Degel. There is groups of four, as we'll see. Each of the three Shvatim are grouped into one of four Degelim. Each of these groups of three Shvatim camp in a specific location around the Mishkan, north, east, south, and west. And they each have a Degel. The Torah describes that sort of formation. And then we move on. And sort of the question is, I want to try to explore, is twofold. What is the sort of significance of this configuration? Like, why are we configuring the Shvatim in this way, specifically with certain Shvatim on certain sides, group four, or three rather, what is the purpose of that? And what is the point of these flags? What exactly were they? How many were there? And I think I want to note, and I think this really frames the discussion in an important way, already in this first pasuk, you see that there's a lot going on here. Because it says, according to the pasuk, that they're camping upon their digalim, upon their banners, according to their Beit Avotam, according to their families. But what proceeds to happen, it's not as if in described in the psukim, there are, so if it was a degel for every Beit Avot, that would be a lot. That would be like hundreds of digalim. We don't really find that. In fact, there's a very much a greater compartmentalization. There's a degel, there's four. That's what it sounds like. There's four digalim. So there's this on the wait. So are we camping according to family unit, or are we camping according to tribe, or are we camping according to even more than just the tribe, or are all of those true? Which sort of speaks to the question, a greater question, which I think this really relates to, is how, if as a nation, as a Jewish people, do you address the question of, you know, nationalism, sort of, a national identity? We're all one big, loving Jewish people, but also, at the same time, relate to very unique, specific family identities, right? Like, we're from this family, and we're from this family in this Shevet, and we're from this, right? Like, that's sort of what this all gets at. So what exactly, I think the flags are a way of sort of addressing this issue. So what are these signs and what are these flags? Rashi here in source number 2 indicates that the otot are on the digalim, right? Kol degel yihyelo ot mapat tzvua tzluya bo. Each flag would have a sign, a colored tapestry hanging on it. Tzivo shel zeh lo kitzivo shel zeh. The color of one is different than the color of the other. Seva kol echad kigon avno hakfua b'choshen. The color of each of these stones the color of each sign is corresponds to Kar and the Choshen, meaning we know that when the Kohen Gadol would work in the Mishkan, and he would wear the Choshen Mishpat, there are 12 stones on the Choshen Mishpat, and the 12 stones, each corresponds to one of the 12 tribes, so on these flags, the color of each stone would represent the color of each tribe from the Choshen. So that sounds like there's 12 flags, by the way. And he says, Mitoch kach kol echad yakir kol echad etziglo. And based on this, each person would recognize the color of their flag. So, on a very simple level, you could look at this as simply sort of like in camp, when, you know, after, let's say, you know, camp is over and everybody's getting together in their bunks to determine, you know, the order of who gets to go on the bus first, so you need to sit with your bunk. And that's what they were doing here, because B'nai Yisrael need to travel, and you know, it's a lot of people traveling at once, they're traveling in a very specific procession, and the flags are there for you to know, oh, that's the yellow flag, let me go to my tribe. But it's clearly more than that, and this medrash, that, which is a very long medrash, I brought you a lot of it actually, because I think it's important, but there's more to it than that, really looks at these Dagalim as this amazing, inspiring, wonderful thing. And it's not exactly clear why. I'll give you an example. The beginning of Medrash says as follows, Ish al diglo, hadahu diktiv, niranana bishuatecha v'shem lokenu nidgol. Right, we say this in davening. We will praise you for your salvation, and in the name of our God, nidgol. Nidgol from Lashon Degel. That we will make, we will proceed with flags. And the Midrash says, Amu Yisrael Kosh Baruch Hu, Harei Anu Maranim Bishuatecha. We're praising you for your Yeshua. Masha Sitalanu Bishimcha Naranu Bishuatecha. Okay. What you did for us, in your name, we are going to praise you for that. And it notes another interesting, important idea of the fact that God is with us in our pain. Okay, that's the first part. That when B'nai Yisrael are redeemed, God is redeemed also. What does that mean? God set his name in our name, like Yisrael, the end of that has name, God, name of God. And what did he do? He made flags for us, right? Wow, he made flags. Amazing. He continues. Chiba gdola chivavar HaKadosh Baruch Hu sha'asa'um digalem kimalachei asharei. Hashem showed them this amazing love when he made them flags like the angels. Kedei she'yunikarim, that they should be recognizable, distinguishable. Uminayin shehu ahaval Yisrael. And how do you know it's a demonstration of love for Israel? Shekin Shlomer Omar, Shlomo says in Shir HaShirim, Hevi Ani al Beit Hayayin, he brought me to the house of wine, V'diglo alai hava. Right, so diglo could mean sort of his expression, but here it means diglo, his flag, was to me an expression of love. God showing us his love by giving us flags. And the question is, like, why? What is so amazing about these flags? And how does that express God's love? It doesn't seem to be that it's simply a question of, you know, organizing people into groups so that they can move in an organized manner. You don't think like, oh, I love my counselors so much because they organize me in this bunk. Like, no, that's very pragmatic. So it seems like it's more than that. The Midrash continues, and it relates this to the malachim, the angels, as the previous medrash does, and it sort of embellishes upon that idea. Medrash says, "Lever acher v'diglo alai hava amar kadosh baruch hu yishu motigalim ve'en chaviv alai de'el diglo shel Yaakov." So first he says, all the nations have their flag. Every nation has their flag, but I love the flag of Yaakov. Hadahu diktiv v'diglo alai hava. Lever acher. Heviyami al Beit Hayayim, Bishash and Nigla Kash Baruch Hu Har Sinai, Yordu Imo Chav Beit Revot Shamalachim. So when Hashem revealed himself on Sinai, so 22 groups of 10,000 malachim, meaning 220,000 angels appeared with him. Shenemar rechav elokim ribotayim alfei shenan. Vayukum asum degalim degalim. And the angels were arranged with these banners, with these flags. So that when the angels appeared on Mount Sinai, they also had degalim. Right? Shenemar, dagul mirvava, kevin sharo tan Yisrael, shehem asum degalim degalim, hitchilu mitavim degalim. So the Jews saw the angels with their flags, and they wanted flags. I want flags too. That's what they said. Amru alavai kachanu nosin degalim kmotan. I wish I also could have flags like that. Amru alakash baruch hu. Manu tavim asot degalim. Chayechem shanim ma'amel shotechem. You want flags? You want flags? I promise you I'm going to fulfill your request. It says, Yimali Hashem kol mashavotecha in Te'om Chaf. Miyad yikash baruch hu lehosam Yisrael. V'amru lemoshe lech asey otam yolim ish moshe davav. The Hashem says, oh, Moshe, they want flags? Okay, so here's going to be the arrangement. Before we get to the end of it, which I think is important, so you have this clear demonstration of awe of these flags, right? And the question is, again, what is so special about them? And what is significant about the fact that the angels had flags? Right, that the angels arrange themselves in flags. Like obviously, that you know isn't meant to be an organizing mechanism. Angels don't need help organizing themselves, so it must represent something else. And what is that? In the next part of the Medrash, it elaborates on what Rashi said, and it goes through each shevet and explains the color of their flag. Based on the color of the even in on the Choshen Mishpat. So I write the Mishmer says, Bo'otot, Simanim ha'ilachol nasi v'nasi mapa, each of the nasiim, the leaders of the tribes, had this flag, and they had a sign on it. V'tzeva ha'kol mapa maka k'tzeva sh'avanim tovot sh'hayu alibo sh'laram. The color of each flag was the same as the color on the heart of Aaron's heart. And that's how the kingdoms learned to make an image and color for each banner. Right? Reuven stone is Odem, and therefore Tzavua Adom. His flag was red. Umitsuyer alav dudaim, and there were roses on it. Shimon Pita, Shimon's son was Pita, Umapo Shlo Tzavuya Rok, his color was green, Mutulav Shchem. And there was a picture of Shchem. Shlevi Bareket, Umapo Shlo Tzavuya Shlish, Lavan, Ushlish Shachor, Ushlish Adom. Really interesting. Levi's stone is Bareket, that's another stone on the Choshen, it's Odin Pita Bareket, that's the first row. And his color was white and black and red. You know what's white, black, and red all over? It's the Degel of Levi. It's a new answer to that question. Umitzirlav Urim V'tumim. And he had a picture of the Urim V'tumim. And you go on for each of these. So now it's not just that each has a color, they each have an image associated with them. And I think what's fascinating about that is that those images are not always the most flattering. Some of them are really sort of provocative and really interesting. So for instance, Shimon's is Shechem. Like when you think of the finest moment in Shimon's life, it's not going to be Shechem. That's not the picture you would pick. Shimon and Levi killed a lot of people in Shechem, and Yaakov got angry at them for that. Right? Even the Dudaim, Reuven's Dudaim, the jasmine, or whatever plants they were, or Reuven used them to sort of bribe Yaakov to be with his mother. Again, a really specific, evocative image, but not necessarily one that I would have picked if I were trying to show how awesome my Shevet was. So you have this description of a picture and a color for each tribe. Now, if you look further in the... Well, we'll get to the end of the mention in a second, but the Mefarshim also sort of, quoting the Midrashim, they elaborate upon these Degalim. Right? So Eben Ezra now relates to it not only in terms of what we've already seen, the colors and the symbols, but also in terms of the groupings into four, right? There's the four sides of the Mishkan. There are four groups, each with three Shvatim. And then Eben Ezra says that actually is representative of something really remarkable. Says the Eben Ezra in source 4, Simanim ayu b'chol dagel v'dagel. There were signs in each banner. Kanunenu amr shi b'dagel Reuven surat adam mikot yeshu darash judaim. Right? Reuven had the picture of a person, so that the Dudaim, which were, and then this is really intense, the Dudaim, which were sort of there to inspire Yaakov to be with Leah, are represented by people, by children. Because that was what Reuven was trying to get Leah to have. That's sort of representative of Reuven in this way, to inspire Yaakov to have more children. And on Yehuda's flag is the image of a lion. Kibom shil Yaakov, v'degel Ephraim surat shor, b'tam b'chor shor, u'v'degel dan surat nesher. Ad sheyinmu l'kruvim shara yecheskel hanavi. So he goes through each of these four, and now it's four groups in another conception. And there is, what's on the groups? There's a lion, and a person, and a man, and an ox, and an eagle. And now it's representative of the Merkava. If you put all these four degalim together, it's representative of the Hashem's divine chariot, where Yecheskel sees the images of these four things: an animal, lion, a person, a shore, an ox, and a nesher. That's what they represent, like this sort of divine chariot camping around the Mishkan. That's another symbolism beyond the sort of color of each shevet. There's also groupings of each of these four groups. Now the Ramban embellishes upon this even further. He quotes Rashi, he quotes Ibn Ezra, and then he quotes another idea in the Midrash. Ve'odra itzi b'Midrash. K'shem shabara kosh baruch hu arbara chop olam kach saviv siviv kiso arba chayot ulomal mikulon kisei akavot. So first he explicates this notion based on the Midrash that it represents the divine chariot, and then it goes to each direction. I'll just read the first one. Mizrash shemeni yotza or la'olam. The light from the world came out from the east. Yek negav Yehuda shu bal malucha. V'lov shevet Yisachar v'hu bal Torah. V'lov matas v'lun shu bal ashirut. K'madik tiv zvulun l'chof yamim yishkon. K'mo shenemar kishaf yamim minaku yisiv rishona. And if you go through his medrash, it's not, so it's, again, so we've talked about the color of each tribe and the symbol on each tribe's flag, and then we had the images on the groupings. There was a degel, again, there's four degelim as described in the Torah, and those are also unique, and they all also represent sort of the Merkava, and then there's specific configurations of each shevet. Right, so that there's a logic, as the Medrash describes it, to why Yehuda is near Reuven and Shim, and Yehuda is near Yisachar and Zvulun, because Yehuda is the king. Yisachar and Zvulun is the famous relationship between Torah and supporting Torah, and that was right for Yehuda. And then if you look at the next, is also really interesting. The next one's Degel of Reuven. Reuven is a Baal Tshuva. That's how he's described here in the Medrash. And God is a Baal Gevura. And then you put Shimon in the Emsa. Shimon is sort of this troublemaker. And you have Gvura on one side, Tshuva on the other side, and that's enough to contain Shimon. So it's really interesting, and I think it sort of reflects the pictures we talked about before. If Shimon's picture is Shechem, again, not the most flattering memory for Shimon, so Hashem dictated that Shimon be situated between God, who's this representative of Gvura, fighting on the front lines to enable Klal Yisrael to get into the Midbar, and Reuven is Teshuvah, and that will be enough to contain Shimon. So there's really a big logic to this. So that relates to this bigger question, which is, what is the purpose of these flags? So we have this configuration, different ways of organizing the tribes. Each of them is representative of a different color, a different image associated with that specific tribe. It's representative of Klal Yisrael as a whole, traveling in a certain way, as the Merchava, the chariot of God, Shechina, came from the Mishkan, and each of them are, there's a certain configurations. But I think the big question is, are the Degalim for internal or external purposes? Meaning, is the point that we're showing the world, sort of, you know, what we stand for? It's this demonstration of God's divine glory and the kavod of Klal Yisrael? Or is it internally? Is it for us to remember what we stand for, our unique place in this great rainbow of Klal Yisrael, and I think you see both, and I think they build upon each other. I'm going to argue that there are three, really, points of all of this. So the Kli Yakar quotes the Midrash, and he says, I don't quite understand, right? Take a look at source 6. And that's for sure a play on word, like, you know, it's not on this. Magdilim tegel. Hamagdilim me'od inyan hadgalim. That really, you know, talk at great lengths, raise this notion of the flags. And they have a whole thing, Shemo Kin Negol, and he asks, at the end, take a look at the second to the to last line of that first paragraph. What is all this crying and yelling about? Why is the city crying out loud for these flags? What great honor was this to Klal Yisrael for desiring these flags? What do they want? It's to broadcast that to the other nations of the world as we travel through the desert, that we are Hashem's nation. His name has been proclaimed upon on us, and you better watch out, essentially. Like, this is who we are. We are Hashem's nation. It's a rallying cry, or rather, it's an announcement. It's almost like, we're coming. That's what B'nai Israel are saying with these flags. Through these flags, they will raise the banner of exaltation and victory through the four directions of the world. Since they go around from all four directions, and the Shekhinah and the Aron in the middle, where everyone is turning to, everybody will see that they are the representative of the name of God. Right, sort of going back to this sort of notion, an important one, which is that God says every nation has a degel. Every nation has this sort of ideal they represent. I love Yaakov because Yaakov is representative of the divine ideal in their nation. That's what they're there to do. So this, you know, notion is almost, you know, external. It's for everybody. It's for to just show to the world, we are God's nation. This is who we are. But you have a totally different emphasis here also. The Me'a Shiloach hints to this in source number 7. He says, Inya bezeh b'chaniot hadgalim, the purpose of camping around the galim, ha'yakol echad v'ochad omid al mekomo, ha'ro'ilo b'sharsho, b'hinei makir et mekomo. That each person would stand on their place that was fit for him, in his root, and understand his place. Meaning, it's for us. That each, we have to know that each shevet and each family and, you know, every single element of the nation has its unique place. And we need to know our specific place. And Rabbi Lam, in one of his first drasha on this parsha, right, Norman Lam, Zechonah Levracha, suggests that that's the sort of comparison to angels, right? We read the Medrash before where Klal Yisrael saw the angels on Sinai were sort of grouped in these degalim and they wanted flags too. And he explains, it's actually almost the opposite of what we said before. It's not for anybody else, it's for us. It's something that you show inward. Because what's unique about an angel? What's a malach? A malach is a shaliach. A malach is a messenger. Malachim know exactly what they're there to do. They have a mission, and they do that mission. And that's what the degalim are there to do, to show each of us have a specific task, or sort of koach, strength, force, that we're there to highlight in the world. And I think that also speaks to the sort of striking images on some of the flags, like Shimon and Shechem. Again, it's not the most flattering story, it certainly isn't, but it highlights the fact that there's a certain koach that Shimon has, right? There's a certain, like, we don't stand for people, you know, who are going to attack our family. A certain, you know, strength in doing that, a willingness to act. And that's what Shimon's flag is there to highlight, that they have that koach. And again, it needs to be certainly expressed appropriately. We give a whole shir on Shimon, but that's the purpose of the degalim. And now, and I want to now go back to the end of the Midrash in source number 3, where the Midrash says as follows, If you look back at source 3, the last paragraph there on page number 2, or where the Medrash says as follows, Levit Avotam, Lo Yitzar Lamor La'ish Al Deglo Bo'oto Yachonu Me Yisrael, Ma Tam Lamor Levit Avotam, what is this notion by the house of their forefathers? Hadar Diksiv, Esed Deim Rechok U'Poli Atein Tzedek, I'm going to put my knowledge in the distance. So, Bishash Amar Kash Baruch Lamosha, Aseo Tam Galink Moshe Davu. Just read it outside. The Medrash describes, look at it inside. Hashem says, Moshe, I want to make this a galim. And Moshe says, they're going to get into a huge argument. One nation's going to want to be on the south, one's going to be one on the north, it's going to be horrible. And Hashem says, no, absolutely not. Because Yaakov already arranged their galim for them. Everybody knows that, and Rashi comments how when they carried Yaakov's coffin to Eretz Israel, they were in a specific formation. That's also the formation that they used for the Mishkan. They got it from Yaakov. And that's the Levit Avotam, based on their forefather Yaakov's formation. But I think the point of it is, it's not just that, as Rabbi Lam is suggesting, and as the Me'ash Shiloach is suggesting, that you know your individual mission. You know what you're here to do when you have the Degalim. But it's also that you know your place in the greater nation, and you won't be jealous. But if each of us knows that we have a unique sort of mission, unique tafkid to accomplish, then we won't be jealous of other people's tafkid. So that focusing on the family, and then the shevet, and then the groups of four, and then the whole nation all at once, as opposed to creating a sort of individualism which destroys unity, properly construed, should build unity. Because I know that I have something that I'm supposed to specifically do for the nation that you're not going to do, and I'm not going to do your thing either. We each have our own roles. And that's sort of the point here. It's all true. There's unique flags for everything. They're all grouped together by Nasi, from the most important to the little child. And that's the purpose of the Degalim. It highlights, and I just want to leave it with the Shlah. The Shlah quotes the Arizal, who says something really fascinating and inspiring, which is that although we don't have the Degalim nowadays, but we do have this in a certain sense. And he's ambitious when he says this. Ishad the globe of Botol Vedavotam. Harizal, I'll read the English, says, the Arizal used to say that there are four flags of the camp of the Israelites. The Jewish people are made up of four classes, each one observing their own respective customs. He divided them into Sephardim, Ashkenazim, Catalonians, and Italians. So that even nowadays, which is a really interesting way of doing it, and I don't think he means it in a sort of, you know, negative way or a racist way at all. The point is that even now, where we have different clear groupings of Klal Yisrael, it doesn't need to be a problem, a course of a cause of discord. It's in fact divrei elu ve'elu. It's supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be that there are different factions, different groups with different customs and different approaches, which each bring out a certain koach in Klal Yisrael. And the Degel, and as we sort of approach Matan Torah, we're all camped around the mountain. That's what the Mishkan sort of represents, to sort of try to focus on our figuring out, you know, what koach do I have to bring, but not in an exclusive way. Well, this is what I do, and, you know, that's all that matters. But no, this is what I do. But I also recognize that everybody has their individual thing, and they're equally as important. And together, we make up this divine chariot camped around the Shechina. That's, I think, the ultimate message of the Galim. Okay. Shkayach, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much for joining.
Thank you.
Have a great Shabbos.